Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're going to enter into a time of prayer today, and we're going to have a little bit more of a participatory prayer time today. We're going to move through the acts of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I'll instruct you how we will enter into a time of prayer, give some silence for you to interact with God. And then we'll pray and then give you another prompt, and then we'll pray and just have an interactive time of prayer this morning. So let's pray together. Father, as we enter into this time of prayer, God, will you speak to us today? Will you just open our hearts? Will you hear the cry that is within us as we worship and pray this morning? The first prompt is adoration. So adore God. Use words that describe who he is, what he does, and knowing that he is our great heavenly Father, things of that type of nature. Spend time adoring God this morning. Father, in you is the Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the creator and the sustainer of life. Your presence is always with us. Your power sustains us. And your knowledge is too wonderful for us. Your grace is always sufficient. Your mercy is endless and limitless. And we turn our hearts to you because you are worthy of all praise. We adore you, God, for who you are and what you do. Will we just worship you even now and knowing, God, you are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Your Son Jesus is the great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection and the life, the bread of life, the true shepherd. And your Spirit is powerful. Holy Spirit, you and your presence is always with us. You are the giver of good gifts. You are the one who speaks and prompts. And God, we just adore you for who you are today. We'll move into confession, and I invite you to spend some significant time with God this morning, just confessing the things that maybe you are holding on to that you haven't confessed. Sins and shortcomings in our relationship with him. Confess those things to the Lord and speak those truths to God, seeking him for forgiveness. Go ahead and confess now. God, each of us has fallen short of your glory. We are not perfect. We have inherited sin from generations ago, from the first people, Adam and Eve. And it has stained us and it has marked us. God, will you forgive us of the things in which we fall short of your glory? The things that we see, the things that we say, the acts that we commit, the thoughts that we sometimes have that are wrong and sinful. God, will you strip us of these things and make us clean and white as snow because of your son Jesus and his blood that was shed on the cross. God, each of us has things that we need to offer to you, and we do that even now. God, it is one of the great prayers in Scripture is found in Daniel, where he recognizes that his people, that his people of Israel had fallen short. And he prays in confession for his nation. And Lord, as a nation, we have fallen short as well. As people, we have fallen short. We have bought into the lies of the world, and we have just given in so many different ways to the lies of Satan. And God, I pray that you would forgive us. We confess to you that as a people, we have given in to things that are untrue, things that are wrong and immoral. And God, we need to lay those things down and ask for your forgiveness. God, break our hearts for the things that are of you. Break our hearts for your word, your truth, and will you burn within us? Burn within us a desire for you. We're going to enter into a time of thanksgiving, and I invite you to just, as I'm praying out loud, thanks, will you just think of the things that you're thankful for, offer them to God. Let's express our gratitude for the Lord. First of all, God, we're thankful for you, your Son, your Spirit, and the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. God, that's the greatest thing that we can be thankful for. Thank you for the love that we experience from you, for the grace and the peace that you give us, for the way that you transform us and make us more and more like your Son every single day. Thank you for the loved ones that we have, friends, family, siblings, children, parents, other family members. God, will you, we just thank you for them all. Thank you for the blessings that we receive that are sometimes things that we forget to express our gratitude for. Thank you for a church where we can gather to worship you. Thank you for people that hold us accountable and allow us to be sharpened by their presence. And I thank you that we have that in the people of Living Hope. So thank you, God. I know there's more, Lord, and we could probably go on with our gratitude and our thanks. Will you make us a people that are thankful? And we also come before you and we ask, Lord, we are entering into the supplication. This is where we seek you for what you want to do. And we ask directly of you, God, to work in our lives. So as we are quiet for just one more time, ask God for the things that you are in need of and seek his face. God, the greatest thing that I can ask for today is that you would hear our prayers, but also that you would make us more and more like your son, Jesus. That when we look into the mirror, we don't see ourselves, but we see your son. God, I pray that you would break our hearts for the things that break your heart. Help us to see the lost and recognize that people are lost. And we have an opportunity to speak truth into that darkness. God, may we be bold in how we live. Father, we pray for healing, where healing is necessary. We pray for restoration of marriages, restoration of relationships, families. We pray, Lord, that you would deliver us from evil. If people are experiencing the binding or the prison bars of sin and destruction, Lord, will you bring freedom where it's necessary? God, we thank you. Thank you for a time of prayer today that speaks to our hearts and reminds us that you are God and we are not. And it is you that we turn to. And we pray all these things in your son's name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us in a time of prayer this morning. I am grateful that you are here today. And a couple of things that we just want to remind you about and just point your attention to is we have a QR code that you can utilize at any point in time. Today, it allows us to know you, get to know us a little bit, but also there's other things that you can do on there, like prayer requests or things of that nature. Would be happy to be praying for you in any way that you are in need of. We also have just a reminder about connecting with us on the various platforms that are out there, Facebook, YouTube. We include Twitter and all of those fun things, so check those things out. Just a reminder for you, and want to express gratitude as well. Thank you so much for the ways in which you give to the ministry of Living Hope, and also helps us to bless others and bless our community. So thank you for your tithes and offerings. And just a reminder for you that if you would like to, you can do this in a number of different ways. One is the box in the back of the sanctuary. We also have online giving through our website. Check that out. And there's a couple other options as well. We have a prayer meeting that takes place every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 a.m. If you're available, we'd love for you to join us. The information is right there. And it's an opportunity for prayer for the church, for people in the church. And I invite you that if you have a little bit of time, half an hour, join us for a time of prayer. Things that you need to be aware of. First one is that our Hope Kids Open is taking place on October 23rd. So Hope Kids families and youth families are invited to join us. You have gotten information, Hope Kids families, about this information. It's been in your email and it's also been handed to your kids. If you haven't seen that, check your junk mail, check your mail, check their pockets, because the information has been given. And it's going to be a great night, lots of fun. And the best part is there's going to be mini golf. And people have been working hard to build these mini golf holes. And I think the kids are going to have a blast. Parents, you're going to have a blast. And families, you're going to have a blast. So make sure that you're here. Pizza starts at 6 o'clock. So parents, don't be late, because then you won't have any pizza and we don't want you to go hungry, because at 6:30 when the golf starts and you're hungry and you're missing your shots because you're hungry, it's not our fault. It's yours. Get there early. Eat some pizza. And then 6:30 is when the shotgun starts. for the mini golf holes begins at 6:30. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that means that you haven't been paying attention to golf and you need to do that. No, don't. Watching golf on TV is, it's a snooze fest. If you need a nap, though, that's a great way to take a nap. Anyways, we are partnering with Nixon Elementary. They have invited us as a church to participate in their trunk or treat that is taking place on October 29th from 5 to 6 p.m. There's two ways that you can be involved and help out with that. If you would like to and you want to donate, we are collecting bags of candy for that event. Those can be dropped off in the hallway in the back. But if maybe you're like, hey, I have a little bit of time on that day from 5 to 6 p.m., just so happens that you have time, sign up and then show up at Nixon at 5 o'clock, and then you can hand out candy to the kids, talk to teachers, talk to community people, and just enjoy an hour of serving at that elementary. That's a great way for you to do that. Another way that you can help out at Nixon Elementary is that they are doing what is called America Reads, and this is a great way to get into the school, basically, and read to children. And I'm signed up, and I'm going to be reading to them two times. And I didn't anticipate that, but I'm excited about it because I get to hang out with little ones and then not so little ones that are taller than me. And you just get to read a book and enjoy some time with them. And if you have the time on this coming Friday and you haven't signed up yet, today's the last day. We need you to sign up today. And there's forms on the welcome table out there, or if you just want to chat with me afterwards, I will point you in the direction. We'll get you signed up so that you can serve this coming Friday. That's October 18th. Kids, you are dismissed to meet your leaders in the back for Children's Church today. Kids ages 4 to 5th grade are dismissed to meet their leader in the back. Children's Church. Okay, a couple of things. One, number, this is new and important information for you. Actually, no, it's the oldest of information because I'm telling you something that you should have already known about. We have a church app, and this church app has been updated in a couple of different ways. If you are interested in the church app, you can go to your store on your phone, your app store, and search Planning Center. And Planning Center, and then you can connect with Living Hope Wesleyan Church. And there's a lot of things on this app. We have the sermons from every Sunday that connects you to our YouTube channel. We also have announcements on there. We have our calendar on there, and we also have sermon notes. And so if you are interested in that, basically most of the notes that I have on the screen, except for today, I didn't put scripture slides. But these are things that are on our app that you can utilize at any point in time. If you are like, I don't even know what you're talking about, catch me afterward. I will update you. I'll help you out, and we'll get you all connected. But this is just one of the ways that we communicate that you can check this out. Today is our last sermon in this series that has been titled God Is, and then we moved it over to Jesus Is, and then we decided, hey, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit too. We don't want to leave the Holy Spirit out. So today is the Holy Spirit Is, and you are up for a crash course in the Holy Spirit today. And so buckle up. We're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. We're going to talk about the things that the Holy Spirit does and how the Holy Spirit works. And so we've got a lot to talk about today. And the first thing that I want you to know about is that there is what is called the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when we're talking about this today, there isn't one specific verse that you could turn to in your Bible that I'm going to be just hammering in on. We're going to be jumping around through the New Testament. So if you do have your Bible, get your hands ready because you're going to be flipping back and forth to various passages of Scripture. Or if you want to, you can just look at the screen. But that's not quite as fun, is it? Bring your Bible every Sunday. Dave's shaking his head. Yes, that's more fun, looking at the screen. I'm sorry, that wasn't very nice. But bring your Bibles. It's important for us to have our Bibles with us. If you have your phone, that's fine too. Throughout the Gospels and into the book of Acts, we see Jesus promising the disciples that they won't be left alone. And often we think that the Spirit was a last minute type of thought by Jesus. It's kind of like almost as if he's saying, oh, by the way, I'm going to leave, but you know, don't be too worried about it because I'll leave you the Holy Spirit. That's not the case. The Holy Spirit isn't an afterthought. The Holy Spirit was a part of the original plan. Early in Jesus's ministry, right after he taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he makes this comment in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. He says, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is not an afterthought. The Holy Spirit is a promise. It was something that was promised to the people in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, before Jesus began his earthly ministry, that was announced by his cousin John in the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I baptize you now with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So it shouldn't have been a surprise when hours before Jesus' arrest, he told his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, that says, if you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit was a promise. The Holy Spirit was talked about by Jesus, and it was promised that the Holy Spirit would come at the right time, at the right place, for the right purposes, so that we would have that presence with us as we continue on in our lives. Now, that's the presence or the promise of the Holy Spirit. Keep buckling up because we got more to get to. The next one is the person of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer wrote in his book, The Counselor, and he spells it out in capital letters. The Holy Spirit is a person. Do not make the mistake that I made in one of my classes. I even cringe saying this, but one time I remember writing the Holy Spirit, and then eventually I said it, and I got that paper back, and the professor in big, bold, red letters circled it and said, the Holy Spirit is not an it. And I cringed and I cried because I know better that the Holy Spirit is a person. It is the third person of the Trinity. And it's not an it. It's not an it. No matter how much we want to use pronouns and things like that, the Holy Spirit is he. He's a person. He's not an energy, he's not a force, he's not the personification of all good qualities. He's not even like what we utilize when cold weather turns around and we say that Jack Frost is nipping at our nose. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not the personification of anything. He is a person, the same as you and I are a person, not of material substance. He has individuality. He is one being and not another. He has a will and intelligence. He has knowledge and sympathy and ability to love, to see, and to think. He can hear, he can speak, and desire, and grieve, and rejoice. He is a person. Now, if we were to do a pop quiz right now, pop quiz, and ask you who or what the Holy Spirit is, I wonder what we would get for an answer. For some of us, we might say, well, yes, Pastor already said it. He's the third person of the Trinity. Whoop. Check mark. Good point for everybody. Other words that we might use to describe the Holy Spirit is comforter, counselor, guide, teacher? Would we go as far as saying God? That's when we should all nod our heads, because he is God. Oftentimes, we sometimes reduce the Holy Spirit because we call him the third person of the Trinity, and we think of rank. It's not a rank. It's just the way that we talk about it. The Father, and sometimes what we end up doing is we rank and we say God the Father, and he's the most important. Then we think of Jesus because Jesus the Son, and so therefore he's the second. And so then we throw the Holy Spirit in, and we're like, well, he's the third person of the Trinity, and they put him in rank. And that's not necessarily how we should, but that's what we do sometimes. But we have to understand that does not diminish who the Holy Spirit is. When we think about all this, one of the ways in which we utilize this tier is because in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19, it says, when Jesus is giving his last instructions to the apostles, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to note that this is one of the few places where the Trinity is mentioned, and it's mentioned in this particular order. And other places where the three persons of the Trinity are mentioned, they are split up differently. Sometimes it is Father, Holy Spirit, Son. Sometimes it's Holy Spirit, Son, and Father. But the matter of fact, the way that we talk about it is not about ranking, but it's about the work of God. Others think that the Holy Spirit is listed as the third person of the Trinity is because the Holy Spirit is not necessarily introduced until later, as in the day of Pentecost. But if we go backwards throughout Scripture, we realize that there are references, direct references to the Holy Spirit. Like in Genesis chapter 1-2 is the creation account, and the earth was empty and formless and mass darkness, and the masses were cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. That is the direct reference of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit floating over the surface. From the very beginning, we see an introduction into the Holy Spirit. In I'm so excited for today, and the words just are Psalm 51, King David is pouring out his heart in repentance over his affair with Bathsheba. And listen to his prayer in verses 51:11. It says, do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Interesting, at that point in time, we see a direct reference that the Holy Spirit was selective and who the Holy Spirit went to. It wasn't the Spirit of God was with everyone, but you can see references where the Spirit of God fell upon someone, specifically in the Old Testament. And it was the Holy Spirit who, present at the conception of Christ in Luke chapter 1, verses 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. It was the Holy Spirit who was present at the baptism of Christ in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and it says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, you are my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with you. The person of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about. And here are the last thoughts in this, is that the Holy Spirit is not some created being or force that that poof magically appears on the day of Pentecost, but he was always with us. He was always God, and the Holy Spirit is not some third string player waiting until the end of the game to make an appearance, but he's been active through the entire realm of history from day one into the presence, and he is God. Now I want to talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit, not presence as in wrappings, but the presence with us, okay? Maybe the question that you're asking is so what? What does this all have to do with me? Well, this has everything to do with us. When Jesus made the promise to the disciples that the Holy Spirit would be present in their lives, the promise wasn't limited to just those 12. It is as real today as it was then, and as real as for them it is for you right now. The Holy Spirit is not an option in the Christian life. It is not like getting power windows or air conditioning in your new car. It's not something that you can just select and say, oh, I want the Holy Spirit today when I buy something new. No, the Holy Spirit is a gift of God that is given to all followers of Jesus, and we need to understand that he is the actual engine is in what makes our life go. He is the power of our Christian experience. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is the very nature and the very center of our Christian life, and you cannot live an obedient life, productive, fruitful Christian life without the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. We need to recognize that the Spirit of God dwells in us. So what is it that the Spirit does? What is it that you need him to do? A lot can just be learned, but just by looking at the word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit in John 16:7, he says, Jesus says, but it is actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come. If I do go away, he will come, because I will send him to you. The word that I want you to recognize in all of this is the word Counselor in the New Living Translation. In the King James Version, the word is translated as comforter. In the New King James, the word is helper. But the idea, the Greek word is parakletos, and it can mean a variety of things. It can mean an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, a comforter. It can mean counselor. And whichever definition that we might use, it's good. Who wouldn't want an intercessor or a counselor or an advocate, or for that matter, someone who might be a consoler in our lives? That's what the Holy Spirit does when he is present with us. He does all of those things, and we need that in our lives. But I asked the question just a little bit ago, and the question is, what do you want him to do? What does he want to do for you? And that is that he wants to give us power. The Holy Spirit in your life wants to give you power. Acts 1:8, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power, and you will tell people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Power. This isn't just any old power. This is where we get the word in English for dynamite. Explosive power. When you don't think that you have what it takes to live the life that Christ expects, or the way that Christ wants you to live, let me tell you, you don't. You on your own don't have the power to be able to live the life of a follower of Jesus on your own. You can't will it into being. You can't do it on your own. But what you need is the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has buckets of what you don't have in order for you to live the Christian life. That verse, Acts 1:8, is one of my top, 25, It's one of the best passages of Scripture because it reminds us that we will receive power. And it's not you might receive power, or you may receive power, or there's a chance that you're going to receive power if you open up the right presence, but it says no, you will receive power, not just a little bit, but incredible, wonderful, and dynamic, world-changing power, and the power that you need in your life to conquer bad habits, the power that you need in your life to start good habits, the power that you need in your life to tell others about Jesus, the power that you need in your life to do everything that God desires for you to do in your life. He gives you that power through the Holy Spirit because he gives you power. But what we have done is that we have taken that power and we have put it in a jar. It's a cup right now, okay? And we put a lid on it and we say, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and we do nothing with it. We bottle it up and we don't allow the power of the Spirit to fill us with his presence so that we can do what God wants us to do. And we shy away from opening up that power and letting it live through us. Because if we did, we wouldn't be afraid. If we did, we would have the power to turn off that thing that we are addicted to. We would have the power to say yes to God instead of maybe. We'd have the power to say, you know what, God, you want me to share your word with somebody? You got it. I do it too. I bottle it up. And I like to just, man, that's the power of God right there. And we marvel at it. Look at it. God wants us to live in this power. Not just to know that it's there, but to live in it. Here's the thing. God doesn't expect us to live this life on our own. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want you to live this Christian life alone, but he wants to help you live it. So he gives you the greatest gift, and that is the power of his Holy Spirit to live and to dwell with you every single day of your life. Will you let him work? In today's sports analogies, will you let him cook? Like five of you got that. Two, maybe. Do you know that this is the infinite power of Almighty God in your life? And it's his promise for you today. Today. Next one. The Holy Spirit gives us love. Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. The Christian life puts a high premium on love. It's rooted in love. And the Holy Spirit gives us that love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Reminds us that God is love And if God is love, Jesus is love, the Holy Spirit is love. And in John 13:35, it says Christ would be defined and identified by your love for one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's be really honest for just a moment. This is probably one command that is given that in the New Testament that is to love one another. And as long as the church is made up of people that is going to, this is going to be a tough one. Because not all of us naturally love everybody. I don't, you don't. Let's be really honest. We don't just naturally love everyone. We may think, yes, I am perfect in loving everybody. And we shine our halos and we're like, woohoo. But let's be really honest. We're not good at loving everybody. If you are, come and talk to me afterwards and say, I love everybody, and we will have a conversation about it, and I will be right because logically, I'm right. Why? Because it's true. Let's be really honest. When we interact with someone that annoys us, do we love that person? When my brothers annoy me and call me short and lots of other names and things like that, at that moment, I do not love them. I will go to the ends of the earth for them. But in that moment, I want to take my oldest brother and I want to shove his foot through a fan. I did that once, and that's why I said that. But someone cuts us off on the highway. Do we love that person? Probably not. We have other ways, and let's just be really honest. But when someone is being mean to us, someone is a jerk to us, do we love them perfectly at that point in time? No, we don't. I don't, and you don't, and no one in history has done that. In fact, we have record of a sibling in Scripture that hated his brother enough that he killed him. And we kill people with our eyes and our daggers and our minds and our thoughts all the time. But Jesus says, they will know you by your love. They will know that you are mine by your love. So where do you get the power? Where do you get the ability to love someone that bugs you, that irks you, that makes you cringe? It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the gift of love to be able to love one another. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says, love is patient and kind, right? You've heard this. I've said it at weddings. You've said it and you've read it and you've experienced it. But love is patient and kind. Are you perfectly loving and patient and kind? No. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Have you ever demanded your own way? Yeah. Love is not irritable and it keeps no record of wrongs when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice. It rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And I realize that the version that I wrote is not always right here. Always hopes, always perseveres. You get the idea. So the question is when you have been filled with the presence of God in your life through the Holy Spirit, what he does in you is that he builds in you the ability and the capacity to love those that are different than you and to love those that you might not have normally loved and to accept people who are vastly different than you, think differently, vote differently than you, but you love them anyways because the power of God has transformed the love that was in your heart beforehand. So that it can be perfect, so that it can be good. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to do that, we can actually do that. We can't do that on our own. And the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand how we can love people, serve people, care for people. Because what they see is they see when a Christian messes up. And they hold on to that. But what about all the times when we did pretty well? So folks, recognize that the power of the Holy Spirit is who gives you the power to love. The Holy Spirit also gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. Did you know that you have spiritual gifts? That you have spiritual gifts. Not all of us will have the exact same gifts. In fact, if we all had the same gifts, that would make for a really boring church. And we would be very, very focused on one thing. So if we all had the gift of preaching, guess what we would all want to be doing? Standing right there, preaching to all the rest of the preachers. But some of us have the gift of helps. Our hands, our feet, our minds that can help others. Some of us have the gifts of encouragement, the gifts of hospitality, the gifts of apostleship, the gifts of faith, the gifts of speaking in tongues. Yes, we believe that the gifts of speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift given by the Spirit of God that is defined by Scripture when we recognize that there is someone who can interpret and someone who can communicate what is being said. Now, can that be done in different ways? Absolutely. I'd love to talk about that, but that's not where we're going right now. We all have gifts, and each gift is utilized for the purpose of the church to grow. And if you're not utilizing your gift, why? Maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Let's solve that in a hurry. Let's figure that out together. Years ago, we had a spiritual gifts class where we talked about what those spiritual gifts are and what they look like and how they fit and where you are at in your life for these gifts. Not saying that we can't do that again, but I would love to work individually with people to say, this is your gift. This is where you can be at. This is where you can volunteer at. This is where you can pour yourself into this area to utilize and live out your gifts, not for yourself. We don't use these gifts for ourselves, but we use them to further what? The kingdom of God. If you were saying your own pocketbook, then no, we're kingdom of God. We're thinking about big picture here. We can even say the church. That's, you might have been thinking that. But the idea is that a spiritual gift is given to each one of us. Prophecy, teaching, evangelism, discernment, healing, hospitality. All of these things are gifts that are given to believers. Now you might be thinking, well, I don't think I have a spiritual gift. Are you a follower of Jesus? Yeah, you have a spiritual gift. Let's figure it out. Let's take care of it so that you are utilizing that gift. And we should be excited about what these gifts are and how to utilize them, because it is the furtherance of the kingdom. This is the last one. God, the Holy Spirit gives us character. And I struggled with this terminology, character. We utilize different characteristics in life that help describe us and let us know who we are and what we do. So that's why I'm using that word character. But Galatians 5:22-23 is a familiar passage, and it should be even more familiar as we have grown in our relationship with Jesus. But Paul has described what a person's life looks like when they are controlled by sin in the early portions of this passage. Galatians chapter 5, like 18, 19, 20, 21, that talks about how the person's life is controlled by sin. And then it goes on to tell us it looks like when it's controlled by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is fully enveloped in us, what we experience is that the Holy Spirit produces all kinds of good fruit, and they are characteristics. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Notice that the fruit of the Spirit is a singular word here. It is the fruit of the Spirit. These aren't just pick and choose like a buffet. When you go to Pizza Ranch and you see all the different varieties of pizza and you're like, ooh, I like that one. I like the pepperoni with the thin crust, but I don't care for the one that has onions and mushrooms and peppers on it. I'll just give me the one. I like that one, and that's the one I want, and I like that type of lettuce. I don't like that other kind of lettuce because that one has those red things in there. And don't put the sunflower seeds on there. Put peanuts. You know how it is. You don't put peanuts on a salad. That's gross. Sunflower seeds, maybe some raisins. No, are raisins bad? No? Oh, raisins are good. Okay. I'll stop because I'm already on a rabbit trail. But it's the fruit of the Spirit is not like a buffet where you can pick and choose. When you receive the fruit of the Spirit, you are experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do you know when you're not being filled with the Spirit of God? When you're not experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If your sinful nature controls your mind, what we experience is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls and works in you, there is life, there is peace, and we get to experience more and more of Him in our lives. And I think that what we should be experiencing in our life is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. One last passage, Romans 8:6. It says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." So when we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, we experience peace. We experience life. We experience love, joy, peace, patience, all of that fruit of the Spirit. So in all of this, this is the Holy Spirit 101, where the Holy Spirit gives us character, and it gives us gifts, and it gives us love, and we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we know that the presence of the Spirit is within us because we are followers of Jesus, and He is not just a force, but He's a person, and He is alive and well and wants to interact with us because He was promised to us. Now, when we have looked at all of these passages and we've looked at all of these words and descriptions that talk about who God is and who Jesus is and who the Holy Spirit is, the question for us is, what do we do with this now? Really, we talk about it. This isn't just something that we take all of this and we big bag it up and we put it in a nice bag and we say, there it is in the back of my mind, and I will bring it out when the day comes. No, we get to talk about who God is and everyday interactions with people. We get to talk about who Jesus is, that He is the way, the truth, and life as we talk with people. We get to talk with people and tell them who the Holy Spirit is and how He has transformed our minds by the renewing of our minds through His power and through His strength because of who He is and what He wants to do in us. That He wants to change us from the sinful people that we once were to be like His Son, Jesus. And we get to talk about that. This isn't just for us to hold on to, but it's actually for us to share so that others can know who God is, who Jesus is, and why we live the way that we do by the power of the Spirit changing us. And what I'm concerned about, is that we don't talk about it. What I'm concerned about is that we care more about other things and we don't talk about what matters most. And what matters most is God. What matters most is our relationship with God. And folks, I know I'm going a little bit long, but I can't help it. The truth of the matter is that we have the greatest gift in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we do this with it. And we hold on to it for ourselves and we don't share it with those that we interact with. And to be quite honest, if we don't do this, this place will die with us. And I don't think we want that. So we have to get to the point where we make a decision of what matters most. What matters most? My agendas or my Lord? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for the promise. Thank you that the Holy Spirit wasn't an afterthought, but it was a forethought. That the Spirit is a part of who you are. And that we see evidence of the Trinity from the very beginning. And God, I pray that we would take the things that we have experienced today, the truths that we have discovered through reading your word, and that we would really apply it to our lives and recognize that because we are followers of your son, Jesus, because we call ourselves Christians, because we have devoted our lives to you, that you have given us a great gift in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit with us that is guiding us, that comforts us, that consoles us, but also encourages us and challenges us and speaks to us, and that we can live out of this power and be a part of transforming the world around us. God, will you challenge us today? Will you guide us today? Will you speak to us today? For the furtherance of your kingdom, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. Just want to invite you to stand and we'll close together with singing.